Right now it is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Workman. Judy joins us on a Thursday morning. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Before, her voice was still A Friendship in the Shadow of ALS and Journal of a Duck Midwife. And we're pleased to have you here once again this morning. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning to both of you. And it's a beautiful early fall day. Really a joy to be able to live in this area right now.
It was just a tad nippy this morning for some of us with that.
Oh yes, it
with
is.
That wind.
It's a pleasurable nippiness.
Well, it'll be
compared
more
to what will come later.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow it's going to be 40 degrees. So
yeah,
than tad nippy.
That's right. Beyond nippy. That's downright.
That's cold. That's true. You know, Joy, I want to talk to you today about something that I think a situation we've all faced, and that is, how do you comfort somebody who has just experienced, you know, a life-changing situation, basically a death, or a catastrophic illness? And I know we've all been, as adults, faced with this situation, either personally because it's happened to us, or because we have a family member or close friend who has just experienced this. And I was thinking about this because it has happened to me just very recently, in which somebody I know who lives in my building, husband died of a debilitating illness, and I know her and her daughter, who actually was a co-author of one of my books. And I had two responses, and one I would describe as empathetic and one as sympathetic. And these are different sort of responses that I think bear a tiny bit of discussion. I could say to the daughter, I feel what you are feeling right now, which is sort of an empathetic way of talking, because I, too, have experienced the death of a father many years earlier and quite suddenly, but I understand, I feel what you are going through right now. I could not say the same thing to my friend whose husband died, because I very fortunately still have a husband who's alive, and so I could not say to her, I feel what you are feeling because I understand what it feels like to have your husband die. All I could say was, I'm very sorry. I knew the man very well. I'm very sorry that he died, but it couldn't really go beyond that. And I think it's a situation, again, that we face, because oftentimes we really don't know how to respond to people who are going through a situation with which we, at this moment, thank you, God, have not had to respond. In other cases, we know exactly what to do. You know, for example, you might have, you know, a relative who's going through an illness, and or a friend, and you've gone through the same thing yourself, or a loved one has gone through the same thing. You know exactly what to say. And I think oftentimes we come across saying the wrong thing, or even we shouldn't be saying very much at all, and let the other person respond, rather than saying, well, gee, I really know what to say to you in this circumstance. And I haven't really come to myself any conclusion, because I've been in that situation, I'm sure you have too, where you simply don't know what to say.
Yesterday was a perfect day for it. You know, we had many depredations in the animal kingdom yesterday. And, you know, it's very hard. Somebody had somebody else call me because she was so shattered by what had happened to her. You know, and it's really, what is required is something that I think a lot of people are out of practice with, which is firstly listening.
Yeah.
And then assessing, you know, assessing what's needed. If you could just take a minute to assess what's, because, and I'm thinking in particular about this young lady who had an older friend who had helped her call me to let me know why she wouldn't be calling. But still, after he had done that and we had, like, he had given me the horrible news, you know, I still had to sort of acknowledge this misery to her.
Right.
You know? And so it was clear she didn't want to talk about it. But she, so all I am saying is, people, when that happens, and it's going to happen in life, it just does. God,
right.
take a second before, you know, basically either sending an emoji or blundering in, and we've all, you know, sometimes you have to learn the hard way. But
that's exactly right. And you know, oftentimes if you have experienced, let's say, the death of an animal and somebody, which we all, many of us have with pets, that's the price you pay for having a pet that you love dearly, you can suddenly just hold the person and even cry along with them because you understand what that person's going through. But I think you're right, Jill. We can't assume, and that's what so many of us do, how that person is feeling if you've never had that experience. And we blunder in with our words when silence really should be the response that we give and let the other person cue us as to what to say.
Silence and love.
By something that, and I never really, I appreciated it, but didn't really appreciate it sufficiently. There's certain rituals around mourning, and we certainly have seen them excessive in now with the death of Queen Elizabeth, that, you know, here you have a country that has gone through now several days and will go through several more days of ritualized mourning. But, you know, where is the sort of human one-on-one touch here? And what brings to mind is that a friend of mine's wife died, unfortunately, at a very young age of breast cancer, and he's Jewish. And one of the rituals that, unfortunately, is not well observed is that when you go to the house of a mourner, you shouldn't say anything and speak until the mourner speaks. You should sit there in silence until the mourner initiates conversation, and then you can respond. Because the mourner should be setting the tone. The mourner should be setting the emotional situation for you to respond to. You shouldn't be coming in and chatting about this or that or how sorry you are. And yet that's how we respond all the time. And that's sympathy. That's not empathy. And it simply doesn't work. It doesn't work to comfort the person who's had the loss. And it doesn't put you in a situation where you really can feel and respond adequately to that. And I think it's something we have to learn. Nobody teaches you how to do this, and unfortunately we blunder into these situations and do it wrong until we are in that situation where we're the recipient, and we say, wait a minute, you're doing it wrong for me.
Right. And it's so funny because over the years people have been, you know, desperately encouraged to think about how they would respond for, like, well, what would I do? It's like, you know what? This isn't about you. So all really... a really good place to start, what I'm trying to say, is stop, listen, and wait to be cued. You'll know right. What to do.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And if the empathy only comes in, I understand your silence and your sadness, and I'm just here waiting for you to tell me how to respond, that's all really that's needed. Well, let's hope we don't have to have too many. I'm sorry, Joy, that Jillie went through this yesterday. Every day in which we don't have to go through this is a good day, right?
And Marshall was a participant as well. So
yeah. Okay. Well, sorry, we sort of had a sort of a sad, but it's important. It's important to talk about, and I'm glad we had a chance to do it.
You are absolutely right. Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.
And, of course, you can hear Judy here on Robin Hood Radio on a Thursday morning, right before this week in the Lakeville Journal. And also at robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on Food for Mood with Judy Wortman.